1.49 at McDonald's gets you a mini Oreo McFlurry. 1.49 on a big night out gets you...
Sorry, no trainers.
McDonald's save a menu. Actually get your money's worth. From 11 a.m. Price and participation may vary. Fees apply to delivery. Subject to availability.
I've ruled out uni because I want to live at home.
I've ruled out uni because I want to earn money.
I've ruled out uni because of my grades.
Study with the Open University and there's no need to rule out anything. With our respected degrees, you can learn from home and work alongside study. We're open to all. Plus, you'll have the support of expert tutors. So rethink your future with the degree you didn't think was possible. The Open University. The future is open.
Welcome to this episode of Peak to Pit, Allie Peak alongside TJ Pittinger. And it's officially the off season from everything that I care about. I know you are a big basketball guy, so you still have things that you cheer for. But other than watching some hockey and I guess college basketball, this is a little bit of a lull for me right now.
Definitely in the off season lull part of the year. It really cranks back up here in a couple of weeks. Tournament. We'll get the excitement of, you know, March Madness kind of rolls right into the spring game. And so you kind of enjoy all that. And then the summer gets really, really bad. But before you know it, August will be here. And, you know, the season will fly by again. It'll, you know, go through 13 weeks in about three. But yeah, it's not the most fun time of the year. So we're having to find other things to talk about. We got a little bit of football sprinkled in for today. But I'll let you start. You had an exciting we haven't talked on the phone about this yet. We texted a little bit about it, but you had an exciting weekend, and I want to hear about it.
So, yes, a super exciting weekend, or at least in our house. Maybe not to you guys, but you're going to listen to it anyway. One of my older daughters, Hadley, had her very first gymnastics meet. She is in level two, which if you know anything about gymnastics, you know, whatever, when they're little, it's levels 1 through 10. And I guess 10 is like right before you go to college or whatever, like they're intense level athletes. Anyway, this is Hadley's first year doing competitive gymnastics. She is in level two. This was her very first meet and she did awesome. She got first place in 3 out of her 4 events and first place overall, which is like called the all around or whatever. So yeah, she's one of the very, very youngest on her team, which made her one of the very youngest at the meet. So I was not 100% sure how this was going to go. And we're not allowed in to watch still. So I like every once in a while, her coach would send me a video or something and I could see the stuff she'd do at our house. But I had zero idea what anybody else could do or like how she was compared to anybody else. So I was kind of caught off guard at how well she did.
I never doubted her, so I was not caught off guard at all with how great she is. No, but that's really, really awesome. I could make a million more jokes. I was going to ask if UF offered yet because their gymnastics team is killing things right now. But, you know, wasn't the UF gymnastics coach on Stadium and Gale? Like, we should have a hookup. Let me see who we could talk to because I think we should. What's the earliest
for gymnastics,
a kid has ever been offered?
I don't know.
For UF. Do they recruit like that? Like is you know, UF's gymnastics program is like the Alabama of, so like, you know,
let's
roll here. Let's get it going. Yeah, the best part of it, and I know you were worried about this as a parent, I'm not quite to this stage yet. And I don't have two that are the exact same age, so it'll never be exactly the same as yours are. But the best part of all of this to me, not to take any shine away from Hadley because she deserves all of it, was Hayden's reaction. And I know you were concerned about like her not getting the shine, you know, right, that Hadley was going to get. But her reaction for this was I mean, to me, is the best part of this story. You know, I'm sitting here reading what she's writing to her, and I'm crying at my kitchen table the other day.
You know, so Hadley and Hayden are twins. They're both six. And Hayden is basically one level behind Hadley. Our gym, they start at level two. So instead of having level ones, they have like, we have this developmental program. And so Hayden is in the highest level of the developmental program, but she has not made the team yet. And they only like do tryouts once a year. So she'll make the team next year, but she is not on the team. And I did worry about that because, again, they are twins. They're very competitive. It's hard to watch your own sibling, let alone your twin, do something that you also want, especially when you're six. And so it's hard to kind of process, you know, what's going on or whatever. But she was so good. She made this card for her telling her that she was the hardest worker she was ever going to see, that she'd ever seen, and that she knew she was going to win for us, which I thought was really cute. Then she, you know, she wanted to go to the meet. They were limiting the number of people that could go. So just me and Hayden went to watch her. She held up a sign. She was just, you know, so excited and proud and cheered for her. And Hadley told us she didn't want us to cheer before she did her routine, but we could cheer after. And so like, we didn't want to make her nervous. So we followed the directions. That'll probably fly out the window from here on out. But at least the first time around, I was going to respect her request. You know, it was so cute. She was so happy for her, so proud for her. And then on the way home, Hadley fell asleep in the car and Hayden's like, you know, Mom, I am jealous. And I'm like, I know you are, but I'm so proud of the way that you have handled yourself. You know, I'm so glad that you are happy for your sister, even though I know that this is something you want too. And I'm like, you know, and if you work hard, you'll be there next year. And she's like, I don't know. I don't know if I'll be good enough. And, you know, she will be. Hayden is incredibly strong. She's incredibly talented. She'll be totally fine there next year. But roles have reversed this week. So Hadley's gymnastics is three times a week. Hayden's is only two. So Hayden got signed up for ice skating. And it's going to be on the day that she does not have anything and Hadley has gymnastics. Hadley has been a whiny brat crying all over the house for the last 3 days about how it's so unfair. Her sister gets to do skating and she doesn't. And you would think that the world was ending. So if there's any doubt about how Hadley would have handled it, if she had to go to Hayden's meet, that has clearly been decided in our house.
Yeah, they, I mean, obviously, you know them much better than I do, but just even in my limited interactions with him, like Hayden truly is, she's the sweetest kid. Like she always asks, like anytime we get to your house or you get to my house or we're leaving your house or you're leaving mine or whatever, she always asks to like hug everybody. And she's like, I'm carrying Bryant, you know, he's like a newborn and she's like, can I hug him goodbye? And I was like, of course, you know, she's so sweet. And like Hadley's on the other side of the house, like literally doing cartwheels and jumping off of like entertainment centers. And it's like their personalities are, and not that they both can't Hadley's be sweet or crazy sweet at times,
she's
but
just,
like
she's more
that
beautiful.
Is just,
like if you want to go get you a diaper or something, oh, like yeah. Hadley's your girl. But
yeah, Hayden, the biggest picture that sticks out of my mind is we brought Bryant over when he was, I don't know, a couple weeks
tiny.
Old, a couple months old. I don't know, but he was very little. And like Hayden like holds him. And I mean, you guys can't see me, but Hayden like holds him like so sweet, like so tight, like best loving big sister. And Hadley is like, you know, rocking him.
Right.
But well, I mean, it was like shaking.
Oh, let me
like
try
she
and
was just like,
you.
She's
let
trying to shake
chest.
Him.
Let me bounce you. What do you
yeah.
mean?
Yeah. She's rocking him like you would shake a bottle of orange juice and like hitting him like she was playing a snare drum. And I'm just like, it doesn't need to be done to this level, but it is
totally.
The perfect representation of their
totally.
Personalities. And so it's just too funny that, yeah, she just got to do the coolest thing ever. And here Hayden gets to go to, you know, ice skate, you know, at the different time. So anyway, super excited for Hadley, excited, you know, I hope that Elena is trending a little bit closer to where Hadley's at. Hopefully she can mellow out some and be sweet like Hayden too. She,
you know,
you know
what?
Because like a blend of them too, like having both
child.
Of them.
Hadley's
is, like,
Hadley is
yeah.
the firstborn. That's
oh, yeah.
the secondborn. And I'm a firstborn, so I feel like I can say this. Like second, firstborns are responsible. They can handle, you know, things being thrown at them. They can compartmentalize. They can make to-do lists. Second children are a little bit sweeter.
Yeah.
My husband just stuck his head in here and said, not in my family.
I mean, we've already kind of seen that with Elena Bryant. Obviously, it's early, but that's just how it seems. Like, Bryant is much sweeter. I don't know what causes this. Probably just the fact that we information overloaded Elena when she was born. And with Bryant, we're just like, let's just love on
you. The first part is like, you're only around adults. They're trying to make you the smartest kid in the whole world, teach you everything, show you everything, whatever. The second kid, you just, a little more laid back.
You have to pick it up where you can. So, well, enough about our families for the moment. UF Gymnastics is rolling right now. We talked about how good they've been. Also rolling right now, did you see Deion Sanders' debut? Yeah. What a transition from Hadley to Deion. Did you see Deion Sanders' debut this weekend?
Yes, I did. Interesting, right? Which I guess we should have expected nothing if not drama when we're talking about prime time. So he kind of made this whole thing about himself, right? Which I guess it's been since day one. So
I can't believe it.
And honestly, though, I think that that's what Jackson State wants. I was reading some articles the other day where they were saying that, like, the announcer at the game was like, all right, now if you look down to the 40-yard line, there's Coach Primetime walking the sidelines and blah, blah, blah. Like, that they very much made it about him, too, even, like, more so than he was making it about himself, like, that the university was making it about themselves. And, like, they would say things like, we want to welcome to our stadium Coach Primetime and blah, blah, blah. Like, could you imagine the announcers at a Gator game being like, okay, and hey, Coach Dan Mullen just walked in the stadium. Can all the fans please give it up for Coach Dan Mullen? Like, that's not, like, it's a team sport. Yeah. But their donations are up. Like, I want to say they're up like 50% every month since he became head coach. They got the highest signing class, like highest ranked signing class of any FCS program in history. They're getting guys that, D1 programs are looking at, major D1 programs, to sign with them. They did really well in the transfer portal with guys from major universities. So, I mean, he's attracting talent. They won 53-0, which, is great. So he walks in the press conference and he says, like, for one, the kids played really well. But while the game was going on, somebody came in and stole everything that was in my coach's office, my credit cards, my wallet, my watches. Thank God I had my necklaces on. And then he talks about how, like, this is one of the things that he wants to change about the program. And, it's not just about the players. It's not just about the coaches, but it's about the whole attitude around the program and blah, blah, blah. And, like, makes it very much about this missing wallet. And then the school told ESPN that his items were misplaced and then found, whatever that means. So that sounds like somebody moved them or whatever, which I don't know why anybody would be in his office moving things, but that's what the university said. But then Sanders, after the school says that, tweets and says, no, they were stolen, but I did get them back. It was stolen out of my personal bag in my office. My assistant caught the person in the process of doing it, but she was alone in that. And then she was alone, so she didn't want to approach him or whatever. And he sent out a whole series of tweets. But then after that, the athletic director from Jackson State put out a statement that says, quote, immediately following our win today, several items belonging to Coach Prime were taken from the locker room. Those items were quickly recovered and then returned. While we consider this an isolated incident, we are thoroughly reviewing security protocols to ensure this does not happen again. However, we refuse to let this dampen the victory for our JSU Tigers, who worked very hard for this moment. So, just what a cluster.
Oh, yeah. I mean, nobody's shocked that Primetime makes something about him. Everything he's ever done has always been about him. Now, I think that there are a lot of positives that are coming off of him being there. Like you said, donations being up, the school is thriving because he decided to go there. But, I mean, you're going to get some of this on the side with it, too.
Well, to be fair, I guess
they don't call Primetime for nothing.
Coming in with diamond dripping watches and whatever else was probably in bag, but nobody should steal anything out of your office, right? I just don't think this was the time to talk about it. Like, you were really going to go on your press conference, and instead of focusing on the win, and your players, you talked about stuff being stolen out of your office. It's not like you couldn't have handled that. You handle it, but you handle it completely separately. And it's nobody else's business, right? It's an internal matter.
Right. It takes the moment away from the kids, which is kind of, you know, not shocking that Deion Sanders
would do. Yeah, but I will say he was way more demure on the sidelines than I expected him to be. So, I mean, maybe this was an isolated thing and he won't make it about him on a regular basis, but I just find that kind of hard to believe.
Yeah, so their next game is Saturday at 3 p.m. I'm actually going to be – my plans last Saturday got ruined. The ACC and Virginia Tech kind of stole my chance to go to the game this weekend. But unless Disney shuts down, I'm going to be in Orlando on Saturday. So I won't get to watch it, but Saturday at 3 o'clock, Jackson State plays their next game.
Are you going to Magic Kingdom?
We are going to Hollywood Studios.
Friday.
Oh, look at you guys. Would you like to take two kids under
no,
two?
No, actually, we'll have two kids under two with me.
Yeah, no, for two more. So Saturday at 3 o'clock, I'm kind of sad I'm going to miss it. I mean, I'll go back and, you know, watch the highlights. I don't really care. It's probably going to be another blowout, so I probably won't be that sad that I'm missing it. But they play the next few weekends, so should be fun. Also on the gridiron, Florida has kicked off their spring practice. You have any updates from the first week?
So supposedly Florida's running backs look really, really good. Which, you know, if you watched any Gator games at all last season, you would know that Florida did not run the ball very often. So, that would be.
Especially not inside the 1 yard line. Okay, go ahead.
So that would be a change, a nice improvement going forward. If Florida really does have a great stable of running backs that they can turn to, they do have a lot of returning wide receivers, which is nice. This is obviously the debut of Emory Jones as the guy. There was, you know, some interesting feedback. Some of the wide receivers said things like he throws the ball as well as Kyle Trask, but he can also run. I'll tell you the two thoughts that came to mind on that. And then you can tell me, I know you're a,
I know my first thought on that one is that somebody's been banging that drum
My immediate reaction is that would be wonderful. I hope that that comes to fruition. I want that not only for him, but obviously for my football team. I find it difficult to believe only because I think that Dan Mullen would have gone that route if there was a guy with the same caliber arm, but also wheels on him, especially since that's the type of quarterback that Dan Mullen prefers most to coach. So again, that's what makes me question that statement. I love that the wide receivers are all in on him, though. I mean, I think that that's important. My other question is, how's his decision making? Because you can have all of the physical talents in the world and not be great at decision making. I think you can look at Franks for kind of more of a model of what somebody that maybe struggles with some of their decision making. I by no means mean off the field. I literally mean football decision making skills. But I hope it's true. You know, I think that that would be, I think that would be awesome. And I hope Florida's defense really, really is able to improve greatly. Haven't heard as much about them as we've heard about the offense. I did see that Trey Dean is kind of making himself a little bit of a vocal leader, which good. I hope his play makes him a leader as well. But you know, we'll see. It's pretty early. I think it started, 3 days ago?
Yeah, no, it's early into practice. I mean, I've been on the Emory train for a while. I think that there's a chance that if Emory starts this year, Florida does better than 8-4. I don't know. I don't think there's any games that Florida won that they wouldn't have won with Emory there. And maybe you pick up one of the losses.
I don't think so.
I'm not sure. You know, if Emory doesn't throw three turnovers in the first half of the LSU game, you know, do they have a big enough lead there where they don't end up blowing that? It doesn't come
I don't
down
know. I think it's very difficult to say that there's reference. Somebody who would have done a better job than a Heisman finalist.
Yeah, no, it's a tough.
And, you
it's
know, I want it to be true, but when there's so little for us to actually base that on, I think that that's a pretty heavy.
Yeah, it's definitely a stretch. Kyle Trask, if you look at the numbers over, he only played three games in 2018, and so it's tough to know there. But from 2019 to 2020, the biggest difference is that Florida just threw the ball a whole heck of a lot more. Interceptions were about the same. His completion percentage was about the same. His yards per attempt were only off by a yard. Like nothing was insanely different. He didn't complete he completed the passes a little bit better, like less than 2%. His average was less than a yard better. His interceptions were the same. Threw the ball 100 more times. I'm not going on the, he was a Heisman finalist because they threw the ball. He was good at it. He wasn't bad by any means. I'm not saying that. But he was a Heisman finalist because they threw the ball a million times last year.
I mean, is that not how Oklahoma's three quarterbacks in a row also won theirs?
Oklahoma's all three of Oklahoma's quarterbacks ran the ball a ton. So, they're maybe not the best example to use.
Always throwing 87 bajillion passes a game.
Yeah, Oklahoma's guys all had a lot of rushing touchdowns too. But Florida was very unbalanced this year, and that gave Trask the opportunity to have a special season that he otherwise probably wouldn't have because of the kind of the anomaly that was Florida's, passing versus running attack this year. I would think that levels out a little bit. And so I don't know that Emory has he's certainly not going to have the stat line that Trask had because I think that they level out the rushing and passing, but he could be more, the offense may be better because it's not as one dimensional, right? So
every Gator fan's dream, right? Because it'd be pretty difficult for the offense to be a whole lot better. It's obviously not difficult for it to be more balanced, but I think that it is going to be difficult for it to be more productive.
Yeah, I'd have to kind of think through where UF was. Yeah, no, that's a good point. So yeah, maybe not better, but definitely more balanced in certain games where you can run the ball and you don't have to rely so heavily on.
It's more versatile depending on who you're playing.
So the team, the team will be better if the offense is more balanced. It's tough to say.
I don't know that the offense can be more productive or will be. And if it's more productive, then shoot, look out. But I do think that it could be more balanced, which could in turn be more beneficial.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if the offense is more balanced, the team benefits from that more. The offense itself, because you don't have to win every game 49-42.
Dogfights require a back that you can just, ride, a quarterback that you can trust to get 3 yards when you need him to or whatever. And Florida hasn't had either one of those in this past season, although they had the most productive year that they've had in a very, very long time, maybe ever offensively.
So,
it seems like there's a lot of positive things out of there. I can't remember a time when there's been not a positive spring. So I don't know that that really tells us a whole lot. I think it's an important spring there wasn't one last year, right? So we've got two full classes of people. Well, I guess not everyone's in this class, but a lot of Florida's class reported early. And then last year's class, nobody got a spring. So you're talking about, a decent chunk of kids that do not have the benefit of having ever played in a spring. So it's important from that aspect because reps matter right now.
Yeah. And you're completely right about the how important the spring is and the positives coming out of there.
I think, missing one spring, whatever, missing two in a row, especially when you are breaking in a new quarterback, breaking in, a lot of new people on both sides of the ball, more so than previous years. It's important.
Yeah. So what about this? Did you see the news out of South Bend this week that Notre Dame Notre Dame's like the little cousin that just wants to be relevant, like just wants to be important. Or maybe they're like the old uncle because they're like so old. Maybe that's a better way to say it.
But like just to whining about Notre Dame feels like the team got the Rose Bowl out of California at least.
So Notre Dame came out with a statement that says they're excited for the EA Sports College Football video game to come back, and it helps promote interest in college football. However, Notre Dame will not participate in the game until rules have been finalized governing the participation of our student athletes. Do you have thoughts on this, or do you want me to go first? Because I've got some thoughts here. We're not getting a game for like two or three, 4 or 5 years. Like the game is not even close. And so to make this statement today, it is the meme where the guy like makes a statement and says, "See, I told you nobody cares." This, I mean, it got everybody talking about Notre Dame, but it got everybody like making fun of them because nobody really cares what they, okay, you're not going to jump in a video game this year, but the game's not coming this year. By the time it comes out, I think we will be paying players at least to benefit off their likeness since all of that is getting kind of finalized now. So anyway, all of this said, like, well, just shut up, Notre Dame. First of all, what are we going to do? You think I'm not going to buy this for $400 as soon as it comes out, like, because you're not in it? Like, I mean, there's one team I care about being in this. And if Florida State wasn't in it, I'd probably still buy it. But, like, there's only one, you know, like, shut up, Notre Dame. Like, nobody that's a Notre Dame fan today and is, like, 55, 60 years old cares about playing this video game anyway. Like, Notre Dame hasn't been relevant in how long? And so, like, let's just relax on this. Just shut up and keep going. The statement itself is actually fine if the game was coming out like this year.
I just want to know,
like, if you wanted to have that sort of stance.
And so their stance, which I do think this is important, like, this is a quote from the release: "As those rules are developed, it is our strong desire that student athletes be allowed to benefit directly from allowing their name, image, and performance history to be used in the game." So they are not against name, image, and likeness. They are actually for it. My question, I guess, is what were you trying to achieve? Like, what was the point? Was it, it's not coming out for a couple of years. I would assume that the name, image, and likeness is settled before we get a video game. I actually would contend that it would not be smart for EA Sports to put one out with this stuff being in flux, because I could see lawsuits and stuff. It makes more sense to me that name, image, and likeness is kind of solidified as the law of the land, and then they release the video game. You know, I don't know, maybe it doesn't happen in that way, but it just seems messier to put that out first, knowing that this is being debated in most states. So then what was the point?
So I have no idea. It's like, you know, I don't even know what, like, a new neighborhood's being built and you're like, I would never live in there unless they put a gate around it. And like 3 years later, when the neighborhood is built, they put a gate around it and then you move in, right? You're like, oh, okay, now I'm good. Well, why were you complaining about it 3 years ago? Like, why? It was being built. It didn't matter.
Thing about
three years ago,
the name, image, and likeness with this game, which will be kind of different than other uses of name, image, and likeness, which I'll get to, but so do they form essentially a college players union that negotiates? Because it's not like they're going to negotiate with every player they want to use from every team across all of D1, right? That'd be a ridiculous amount of work. It's one thing if UF wants to use their 3 or 5 most popular players and sell their jerseys or whatever. You negotiate with those 3 to 5 players. Or a car dealership wants to hire, you know, whatever, your Emory Jones to do a commercial with them, you negotiate with Emory Jones. But when you're talking about EA Sports and an entire video game based collectively on all of these guys, I almost makes sense that a union would be the only way to do that, right?
Yeah. I mean, a union, or you just kind of like say, like, hey, this is what we're doing, right? Like, there's, I just did a quick, you know, calculator trick here, and 85 scholarship players over 130 schools is roughly 11,000 players. So do you just cut all 11,000 a check for 50 bucks and call it a day?
You know, is that money, sign this waiver to be included, and then if you don't want this money, sign this waiver to be left out, right?
Yeah, Do they have to do that? Have to do that every year. It goes
right.
Through.
And I mean, you have then the top guys being like, "Nah, can't use my image and likeness because you're not paying me as much, or you're paying me the same as, you know, this guy who hasn't seen the field yet or not." And then do the top guys either A, get left out and the game gets sold anyway because people have enough of a desire to have the game that they don't really care if their top player decided to opt out, or does that, you know, slow the process down even more? And so much of this is very much up in the air, which again is why I think it's stupid to release a statement
what's up
at
with
the
it?
Moment because it doesn't change anything.
Protesting something that's 4 years down the road. What's also crazy is like you could leave a bunch of players out of this thing and they come up with like these artificial rosters and stuff. So like my 2014 video game that I still play, it's the updated rosters. Like I'm playing with McKenzie Milton right now, you know, at FSU. And so like these guys that have way more time than I do, like they literally go through and update every part of the roster. You go download the roster. And if I play UF, like if I go play UF right now, it's Emory Jones, the quarterback, and Bowman and all these guys that are playing. So even if they say like, I want to be left out of the original one, like you can create players. Like it's not a hard thing to do. So like, I don't even know how effective that really is. You know, maybe they do have the original one, but it is literally so easy to just download an online roster. It takes no effort at all. Now, the guys that are having to create the rosters, that takes time and effort. But like to download the roster, you just literally enter the name of the roster, hit download, and then all your players are now upgraded. So I am still looking forward to this video game. We've talked about things that are way off out in the future. At least I'm not having to wait as long as the UF Notre Dame series for this to come out. But whether Notre Dame's in this or not,
I think it'll be great. I'm interested to see how this all plays out, especially with the name, image, and likeness. I think, we saw Dan Mullen allude to it last week in his very first press conference of spring. He said, like, coaches are very concerned about how this is going to play out. There is so much up in the air that I think that there's a lot of people in college football that are just very wary of what changes may potentially be coming, how it affects, you know, everything from recruiting to coaches' contracts and whatever else. So there's going to be a lot of changes and hopefully positive ones in the next couple of years. And all of those things will probably happen before we have this video game.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And then it'll all make sense and we'll know what's going on. And we didn't need Notre Dame to steal 15 minutes off of our show today. Basketball, a decent week for both teams. Florida State beat number 7 UVA by 21 points. That actually happened before. Massive win. And then they, like I said earlier, they ruined my weekend. I was not able to go up to the FSU game because the ACC rescheduled us to play at Pitt. And a trip to Tallahassee was easy. A trip to Pitt was not something that I was going to do. So Florida State goes 2-0. They're up to number 11 in the country. I just looked at the bracketology right now. They've got us as a 2 seed in Gonzaga's region, so that's not fun. But a 2 seed is fun. Hopefully we don't end up in that region. I think Gonzaga and Baylor are heads, you know, like so much better than everybody else. And then, you know, your next teams after that, your Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, Florida State are all kind of in that next bunch. Like I don't think anybody 3 through 10 is like – way better than anybody else. But Gonzaga and Baylor are like, I would love if we didn't have to play either of them, you know, maybe until the Final Four or championship or something like that. So, Florida also beat Georgia over the weekend. I show Florida as an 8 or 9 seed. So that will be interesting to see if they can kind of keep things up. They have been very hot and cold, but they've got some good wins. Their bracket prediction right now is a 9 seed in Baylor's region. So they have to get by whoever the 8 seed is there, and then really, really tough game 2 against Baylor. But Florida played Baylor fairly tough last year. Obviously a different team this year, but you never know. Hopefully Florida can take out Baylor for us so that we don't have to end up playing them. So, but some decent things happening for UF basketball. We continue to be Mark White cheerleaders on this podcast and just love that man to death. So really good things for FSU basketball and semi-decent for Florida. Florida
Auburn
has
tonight.
Who do you guys have?
Florida plays next, and they have Kentucky at Kentucky on Saturday. And then they finish the regular season with Mizzou.
The Auburn game, Auburn's not very good. They're under 500. I believe Auburn lost to Liberty earlier this year, which Liberty's having a semi-decent year. I mean, with, you know, perspective of who all they play and such. But Florida should definitely beat Auburn. It's yeah. It's an issue if they don't.
I mean, they should beat Kentucky too, right?
Missouri not very good
should
either.
Be the hardest of those three games. They are ranked the highest of those three.
Kentucky's terrible. Like, yeah. Kentucky's really bad. So, yeah, Florida should beat Kentucky. They are 8-13 overall. Missouri's respectable. They're 14-6. So, yeah, you got to beat these two. You got to beat these two bad teams and then should beat Missouri yeah. and then go from there. So, Florida State finishes out with Miami, UNC, I want to say Boston College and somebody else. I don't remember who the last one is. Notre Dame. So hopefully they can at least take three of the next four, if not all four. North Carolina will be a tough one. UF baseball started this weekend. Really good start on opening day. The last two games, not so good. Dropping their series against Miami. They start out 1-2. They're so loaded. I mean, they probably should be favorites to win it all. I mean, they're the best team in the country. Not a great start.
It's the first time Miami's won the series in several years. It has been a rivalry for a long time, but it has been a one-sided rivalry the last 4 or 5 years until this, obviously. Florida did open their new ballpark. I don't really think that this is anything to be concerned about. I think that obviously it's annoying to Gator fans because it is a baseball rivalry, right? But they are talent-wise the best team in the country. I don't know. It's young season. It should be fine.
Yeah, no, they will be, and they're going to be very, very good all year. But it was good to see them lose the first series. So Florida State won their series. They did the opposite. They dropped the opening day game and then won the next two. They are up to number 9 in the country. Did Florida stay at number 1 or did they drop a little bit because they lost?
I was expecting them to drop, but need to look that up.
Ole Miss takes the top spot. Yeah, a bunch of teams lost
right now.
We're doing the SEC thing in baseball too. Very good. There are two ACC teams in the top three. So I just want to throw that out. Three in the top five. So the ACC and SEC are basically the entire conference. Now that I'm looking at it. So the SEC has Mississippi at number 1. Let's count them. Mississippi, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Florida, Mississippi State. So that's 5. LSU, 6. South Carolina, Tennessee, 7, 8. Alabama, 9. So 9 for the SEC. I think this is going to be 8 for the ACC. We'll see. Virginia, Miami, 2. Louisville, 3. Florida State, 4. Duke, 5. North Carolina State, 6. Georgia Tech, 7. Yeah, 7-9. So, yeah, 16 of the 25 teams. I mean, this is Southeast, right? Like, nobody in the Northeast plays this sport. So, other than that, I think we're good. I think we kind of hit on everything. Was there anything I left out? Anything that we didn't bring up?
Back at your little list that you sent me.
This wasn't on the list. Did you see the Red Sox player wearing the Tom Brady drunk t-shirt into spring training the other day? I went to buy that t-shirt and it's currently like it's blocked on the website was listed. And so I'm going to have to print one myself because I want one. it was really hilarious to see. And the Red Sox like officially tweeted that and then Brady quoted it's like, I'm never going to live this down.
You're never going to live this down, but that's okay. Like the difference between like New England Brady on a float freezing his butt off with his beanie and you know his kids and Florida Brady like stumbling off a boat chucking the Lombardi trophy and you know blaming tequila, like he's so much more fun down here.
Oh, by far way more fun. Like it's not even close. So I could have a sense of humor too if I was like a cajillionaire.
I mean, you're not, and you have a sense of humor.
I wouldn't care if people watch me get
kudos to you.
Right, yeah. Like, I wouldn't care if you had pictures of me.
He's always come across as kind of buttoned up.
Better one.
And he was not buttoned up at all after this win here.
Not a bit. That's what Kara said. Because you see, like, Peyton Manning doing this. Like, no way. You know, like, this is, like,
I don't know. Peyton Manning always does hilarious commercials and stuff. Like, maybe this is how Peyton Manning is.
Great commercials.
Behind closed doors, I mean.
He and Brad Paisley have some great commercials. But I don't know if you'd see Peyton drunk stumbling across the Tampa Bay.
We bring out the best in everybody, right?
Absolutely. So, all right, cool. Well, then that is all we had for this week. I finally got us under under 40 minutes. So good work here today. We'll be back next week. I don't know what we'll talk about because there's nothing happening in like the sports world, but we will think of something and we'll talk about it. Probably ice skating.
Well, we will have had another meet. I have a meet this weekend in Daytona, so we'll have little girl gymnastics to recount.
She tells us she has to sleep outside if she doesn't get first overall again. So, no pressure. All right, well, have fun this weekend, and we will talk next week.